The Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgive the iniquity of my sins.
Almighty God, merciful Father.
I, poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
God the Father.
almighty and everlasting God, who governs all things in heaven and on earth, mercifully hear the prayers of your people and grant us your peace through all our days. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Old Testament reading for the second Sunday after the Epiphany is from Exodus chapter 33. Moses said to the Lord, "Lord, see, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me now your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be made known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? It is not your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth." And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you that my name is the Lord, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
He sent out his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destruction.
Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wondrous works to the children of men.
The Epistle from Ephesians, chapter 5. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church. But we are members of his body. Therefore, a man should leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise him, all his soul.
St. John, the second chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water now become wine, and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory. And his disciples believed in him. This is the gospel of the Lord. How did he do this? by causing a deep sleep to fall upon the second Adam, Jesus, even death on a cross, and taking from his pierced side the holy water and holy blood by which his holy bride would be made and presented to him. A profound mystery, indeed. So it really should not surprise us then that we find Jesus at a wedding at Cana in Galilee where he does the first of his signs, turning water into wine and manifesting his glory by revealing this profound mystery. That water and wine prophesy of the holy water and blood that will pour forth from his riven side on the cross. He makes this clear when he answers his mother, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." The hour of which he speaks is the hour of his crucifixion, when he will make all things new, giving himself up for his holy bride, that he might create and sanctify her by the cleansing water and blood which pours forth from his side. That water and blood pours from Christ's side on the cross into the fonts and chalices of all Christendom. A profound mystery, indeed. And even calling his mother woman is a reference back to Eden when Adam calls Eve woman because she was taken out of man. You read the commentaries on this passage and you will drive yourselves nuts, because everyone wants to make hay out of whether or not Jesus is being rude to his mom. Not at all. This is no slight or disrespect toward his mother, but Jesus is prophesying that his mother, Saint Mary, is a picture of the Holy Church, his bride. And she faithfully completes that picture as the new Eve by saying to the servants at the wedding, "Do whatever he, the new Adam, tells you." What did Eve say to the first Adam? "Here, have a bite of this." But the new Eve undoes what the first Eve did by saying, "Do whatever he tells you." Jesus' hour had not yet come at that wedding at Cana in Galilee, but he points forward to the hour for which he came. And at the same time, he points backward to Eden, and he points even more forward to the final day, to the wedding feast of the Lamb and his bride that is to come. He does all of this as he does his first of his signs, and this is no coincidence, on the third day. The same day on which he will rise from the tomb and open the door to everlasting life to all who believe in him, to his holy bride. Oh yes, the mystery of holy marriage is profound indeed, referring as it does to Christ and his church. There's a lot of worrisome talk these days, especially among conservative Christians, about the institution of marriage being assaulted and redefined, even some fear, destroyed. But you cannot assault, redefine, or destroy this mystery. It does not belong to us. It's not our institution to do with as we please. It's the Lord's institution. And, dear friends, it will remain the Lord's institution until he returns in great glory on the last day, when he will gather up his holy bride and bring her into the wedding feast of the Lamb. Nothing shall prevail against Christ and his church, not even the gates of hell, as he says, and certainly not a secular government or secular society. Fear not. The institution of holy marriage is sacred. and eternal. It is a profound mystery as it refers to Christ and his church. What about our marriages? Well, we participate in this great mystery, no doubt about that, but remember that the vows we exchange when we enter into holy matrimony are but low-sounding echoes of the vows our Lord Jesus made to his bride on the cross. The one-flesh union we enter into with our spouses is but a faint reflection of the one-flesh union our Lord Jesus has eternally with his bride. Our lives together as husbands and wives in this world are but a blurred picture of the holy communion which exists between our Lord Jesus, the bridegroom, and his church, the bride. We enter into holy matrimony, making the vow, till death do us part. But the holy marriage of Christ to his bride is eternal and supersedes all temporal, earthly relationships. So it is that whether you are married or not in this world, you, dearly beloved in Christ, are united together in the eternal one-flesh union you have with your Lord and Savior Jesus. Your sins, whatever they are and however many they are, have been washed away in the cleansing water and blood by which your bridegroom has claimed you and keeps you his holy bride. In Christ, you are forgiven. In Christ, you are perfect without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. In Christ, you are holy and without blemish, and in Christ, you shall live forever. For you are bone of his bones, and flesh of his flesh. You are called woman, that is, the church, because you have been taken out of man, that is, Jesus Christ. And what God has joined together, no man can rend asunder, even unto the ages of ages. To that end, your Lord Jesus continues to love you and feed you and sustain you, that you might remain united to him forever. He comes here to the Cana of his holy church to fill your cup overflowing with the best of wines, even the very blood of Calvary. At the wedding in Cana long ago, he turned the water into wine, and it wasn't just ordinary wine, it was the best of wines, the choicest of wines. And as we hear, as we read this famous passage, the master of the feast is scandalized by this, because as the text says, the guests were already intoxicated or drunk. Our translators like to tone that down by saying drunk freely, when the guests had drunk freely. But the Greek word is drunk, intoxicated. And so Jesus turns the water into the best of wines and gives it to a bunch of intoxicated people. That's the scandal. Why would you waste the good wine on people who can't and won't appreciate it? That's his way. Jesus continues to scandalize naysayers as he continues to give the best of wines to people like you and me who are intoxicated with sin. He welcomes sinners to the holy altar and feeds them with bread from heaven and with the wine of his holy blood, that they might eat and drink and partake of the divine nature and live forever. For Jesus will have his holy bride. He will have you. You are precious in his sight. He knows you by name, even as he knew Moses by name. So as the psalm says, come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. He is awesome in his deeds toward you, O sinner redeemed by Christ, for he has made you holy and without blemish, loving you as his own flesh, nourishing and cherishing you as his very own body. Oh yes, the mystery of holy marriage is profound indeed, referring as it does to Christ and his bride, the church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, how awesome are your deeds. For it pleased you to send your Son into our world to rescue us from sin, death, and the devil. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might cling in faith to Jesus Christ, our bridegroom, and receive from him the divine gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, which he lovingly delivers to us in the Cana of his holy church, from the font, pulpit, and altar. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, bestow your blessing upon Matthew, our Synod President, David, our District President, Samuel, our Circuit Visitor, and all pastors in Christ. That the Holy Gospel be preached among us in its purity, and the Holy Sacraments be administered among us according to Christ's institution. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, we give you humble thanks for instituting the estate of holy marriage and for the blessings of families. Grant that these gifts would be cherished and honored in our society and especially within the household of faith. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, you provide for all our needs of both body and soul. From your bountiful goodness, we receive our daily bread. Create in us grateful hearts to receive all that you provide with thanksgiving to the praise of your holy name. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, grant wisdom to all who are in authority over us at the federal, state, and local levels. Supply them with your blessing, that they may be inclined to your will and walk according to your commandments. Bless all those who serve in our armed forces, that they would serve with integrity and with honor. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, behold with tender mercy those who are sick, hospitalized, undergoing treatment, preparing for surgery, or suffering in any way, especially those who have requested our prayers, including David Gursky, Vern Jacklett, Ella Shaw, Scott McCollum, Charles Shaw, Margaret Doobie, Lloyd Doobie, James Whiting, Pastor Dan Chambers, John Myers, Cheryl Myers, Pat Howard, and Lyle Cull, that they would know the consolation of your love in Christ Jesus and be strengthened to endure. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Merciful Lord, grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the holy altar this day, that they may receive the holy sacrament of Christ's very body and blood in repentance and faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, all the earth worships you and sings your praises. Keep us in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, that together with all your saints of every time and place, we may enjoy the marriage feast of the Lamb in Christ's kingdom, which has no end. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy.
Thank you.
come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. The very body of Christ given for you.
The very blood of Christ.
united with Christ. Give it thanks.
Thank you.
this holy and precious true body and blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.